and sisters in Christ. Grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Just as certainly as young Wesley will grow into a man, and just as certainly as the other young boys that we saw in the pew ahead of us and young boys that we may see throughout society will grow into men, is the fact that Jesus grew into a man as well. We've been hearing this Lenten season that Jesus was a man. God took on human flesh in his person. Yet it behooves us to remember that Jesus, while 100% man, was also 100% God. The theologian Martin Kimmitz wrote of Jesus, according to our epistle text, in this way. He was in the form of God, that is, in wisdom and power, equal to the Father. We saw moments in Jesus' earthly life, in his working miracles, and on the Mount of Transfiguration. But Jesus did not use his godly power at all times, or in ways to subvert the mission with which he had been tasked. We heard in our text, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men." Jesus did not usurp his Father's power when he was a man among us. Unlike us, Jesus was God and could have used those powers at any time that he desired. But in order to fulfill the law in our place, Jesus took the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. Jesus was born to his mother Mary and lived as her child in the same way that Wesley is living as a child to Ronnie and Abby. Jesus went from a toddler all the way to a man who walked the regions of Jerusalem proclaiming God's word. He lived, he breathed, he ate, he drank, he worked, he slept. He did all the human things, including living under God. Jesus did not use his power to create food from the stones when the tempter tempted him, but instead combated the tempter with God's word. And Jesus did not call down the angel hosts to ward off the Pharisees and scribes when they persistently attacked him, but gave them chances to repent and to believe. So Paul wrote to the believers at Philippi and to us, "Have this mind among yourselves." In other words, to live as servants of God, not trying to usurp God's power, but living in joy and peace under it. Joy, whether in times that are good and fun, or even in those times of suffering and persecution. Peace, whether in times when everyone agrees with God's word, or in times when we are mocked and shunned because of his word. Not combating anger with anger, but with love and patience. Desiring instead that the world turn away from the ways of the world to the saving way of God in Christ Jesus. Most assuredly, we could not have hoped to have this mind among ourselves before we were brought to the truth of God's word, being condemned by his law and then brought back to the life by the washing of holy baptism and by the hearing of his gospel, the gospel in our Savior, Jesus Christ. But even today, after our baptism, we cannot hope to have this mind of ourselves in and of ourselves. Only in keeping in God's word, his law continually breaking us down to repentance, and his gospel building us up as his beloved children. Only in this way will we have this mind. Our text continued, "And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." Our sinful nature wants nothing to do with being at peace and enjoying life the way that God wants us to. And so we see that the old nature is still at work within us, as we still feel that way even after being baptized. So we call out with the crowds we heard this morning, "Hosanna! Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. We cry out, Hosanna, God, save us. Who can rescue us from this body of sin? Thanks be to God through our Savior, the God-man, Christ Jesus. Once more, we hear about how obedient Jesus was to God, even though he was God himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Jesus rode into Jerusalem, knowing full well that it meant his death. He rode into town because he knew that it was God's will that he do it. So despite having the power to resist or to fight off his impending death, Jesus rode into town, gentle and riding on a donkey. He rode into town knowing that he would soon be nailed to a cross, those nails going through his very hands and his very feet, the thorns of the crown of thorns poking directly into his head, the whisk of the flagrum piercing his back almost to the internal organs before even carrying the cross. And on the cross itself, suffering separation from God the Father, hell itself. Not because he had done wrong, but because humanity had done wrong. Because humanity wanted to be its own God. Indeed, because you had done wrong. Because you had and still want to be your own God. But Jesus went to the cross, being found in human form. This Lenten season, we learn from him how to endure even in the midst of persecution of the worst kind. On the one hand, doing it out of the fear of God, not fearing the ones who can only kill the body, but fearing him who can kill the body and soul in hell. And on the other hand, out of the fear of God, the respect that he deserves for sending his own beloved Son to die for me and to die for you. Because Jesus humbled himself even to the point of dying on the cross, therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. God gave Jesus the name that is above every name, Jesus Christ. Today, through the washing of holy baptism, God has bestowed on Wesley and each of us that name. We are Christians, ones bearing the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is the name that we bear as we live our lives on this planet, so that should we run into mockery or persecutions, we might bear them as Christ himself did. And so that should mockery or persecution come from fellow Christians, we might stop and remember that his name is above our own. It doesn't matter what your first name is. It doesn't matter what your last name is. Jesus Christ's name is above them both. When we remember this, we remember how Jesus died for us and how he died for those brothers and sisters in Christ who bear that same name. And we forgive one another, holding the name of Christ above our own names. And at the same time, as we remember this, we even find those that are not Christians persecuting us. We remember that Christ Jesus died for them, too. And so we forgive them. And we reach out to them in the hope that they will repent and believe along with us. So continue, dear friends in Christ, to behold the man. Behold the man who was in the form of God, yet who did not use that form to subvert God's plan, but to fulfill it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds ever faithful unto life everlasting. Amen.